Lautaro from University of Luxembourg. First of all, sorry for the delay. This happened when you use Windows, but I haven't learned my lesson yet. I'm going to present this work called Efficient Large-Scale Multidimensional Aggregation. It was done by me along with Jérôme-François sitting there with you and Thomas Engel, who didn't make it to here. What I'm going to present you is a tool we are doing right now. It's for aggregating a lot of data and having a quick outline of what's going on. So this is focused on a tool, but also on the technique. So on the menu for today, we're going to see how's the motivation, what's the problem we are targeting. On the second, I'm going to show you the application, how it works, some use cases and a demo that will go along together, and then some conclusions and, of course, some questions if you have some. So let's start by our motivation. We ask ourselves how we combine a large volume of heterogeneous data to extract a quick conclusion about it. And when we talk about sources, we don't actually focus in any source in particular. It can be an IDS, it can be your network traffic, it can be NetFlow records, alerts from your firewalls. Also, we have done a lot of work on SIP conversations logs. So we build a really big database with all of these, and then we start asking ourselves how we can draw conclusions to improve security, to trace malicious users in terms and forensics, do some optimizations, because we can also learn from where it's useful to place our servers, and for accounting and provisioning as well. So we ask that question with aggregation. We like aggregation because it's scalable, because we can we don't need to specify the granularity of our information. We can be talking about like a few lines of logs, thousands or gigabytes or terabytes of logs, and it will work in a nice way. It's good because we target two issues. What things we're going to aggregate, we can be packets, we can measure the packet in the byte size, or the kilobytes, but also we can do it for multiple criteria, not aggregating only if we are going to use NetFlow, for instance, using IPs or using the domain names, the user agent. We can aggregate whatever feature is over there. And we do it over time and space. Over time, we split the whole time space that you provide to the application, let's say days, you have 10 days of logs, we can split that in tiny windows, we'll call beta, and then we will use a parameter, this is important, is alpha, that we'll use it for special aggregation. That means we're going to keep only information with at least alpha percentage of what's going on. So we can go from a really, really little amount of information to a really big. So we didn't invent this technique. This was made by other people as well before us. First, the Aguri people, they started using subnetwork prefix-based aggregation. As you can see, it does look like the tree over there. What you can see in over there, it's the aggregated network tree of a network that start with a mother child, 0.0.0/0. And on the very left, you see you see a percentage. That means that node keeps at least 4.91% percentage of all the information that went through the network, and then it start partitioning the data hierarchically. As you can see on the right side, the 144.0.0/4. This subnetwork got a 7.01% percentage of all the traffic of the network, and in the left side, you see the prefix that is the, and then the prefix length that it can be /24/28. It's important for you to understand that you don't need to submit that data to the tool. We will do that tree automatically, and then the volume. And also, this technique was extended to be used for DNS domains based. But where is our contribution here? Well, we extended this technique for large data sets. We test this application. We had a lot of data, and we tested it. It works pretty well. We did some changes to be performant in time. We all extended, another important thing is we extended this for multiple data, IP addresses, DNS name, GPS coordinate. As you have seen in the previous slide, there's only IP addresses and it's only source. But what happens if you want to do it at the same time source and destination, or if you want to add another feature? Well, that's where our contribution takes part. And we created special data structures and algorithms for performing this with no specific order. It's not a requirement to specify which dimension you want to aggregate first. And as well, as I mentioned before, the granularity that goes automatically. And to conclude this slide, it's an open source tool. You can download it, you can test it, you can do the testing for us. That would be good. So I'm going to show you an example of how it works. Suppose you have this a lot of these nice logs here. That you have a port, the protocol type of the stream. You have the timestamp, the source, and the destination. Well, looks like a NetFlow log. But what we do is we transform this into a tree, which allow us to have a quick outline of what was going on that network. In this case, I'm using three dimensions. The first one in red, that will be the type of application that it was used in the network. Then we have the source and the destination's IP addresses. On the very first part of each node, you will see the red label that specifies what kind of applications. As you can see here, here on the first child in the left zone, we have that this node corresponds to POP protocol for email exchange, and we know like its source, it comes from same client and goes to what we can imagine it will be the email server. So we know that that node and for that protocol represents at least 10% of the whole data that was in the network for a given time window. But we can also stay in the same dimension. Here I moved from the root application to the mail. But what happened if there's significant information that is not ready to be classified for application yet? Well, that will be this case where we have this subnetwork that is using 13% of all data. So to show you a little bit more how does it work, how we actually get that data from the user and output it into this tree. Well, we first need the users, to provide information, the data, like logs, databases, whatever you have, it can be switched into this application. It's just writing the connector. And then this is important, the data model, because as I told you before, we use applications, we use IP addresses. IP addresses, we will give you the model, but when we are talking about user-given data, it's important to provide us an idea to how organize and represent the information in a data structure. That will be the model, the underlying model. And after that, we start parsing all the data, creating trees. And we got two flavors. One flavor is offline. We get all the data when the tree is constructed, bam, we trigger aggregation, and you will see a tree like I showed you before. But what happens if you want to do this on real time? Well, we can build a tree and keep up aggregate on the first instance and then keep on appending nodes. And every time that the tree is big or there is some conditions that give us a good hint for triggering aggregation, then we have online aggregation. So this is what I mentioned before, the data model. On the left side, you see an IP data model that is simple. We have that network, and we have partitioned it in a binary tree, which has like a 0-1 direction, which is the next value function. But on the right side, what happens if there is user-given data, like application topology classification for applications that you see, like from the root node, we got all the different. We did that by ourselves, but if you want to use the tool with another model, you're free to include this other model on the tool. So when we are building the tree, there is something that is important for us, that is how we can find the right path to insert a tree. Suppose we are parsing the data log that you gave us from NetFlow. Well, we will need a direction function that will allow to traverse the tree that will perform as like good directions to know exactly where this data goes. So I'm going to show you how this direction thing works a little bit more. Let's suppose we want to insert a node into a tree. And we have this source destination node on the left upper part of the screen, and we want to insert this. Here we are using DNS, and we use two terminal symbols. One is root, and the other one is dollar. As you can see on the destination and on the source, it's present all over. So what we would need to do here is we got a node, and we want to append it into the tree. Well, we use the direction, which is the shortest common prefix in this case, that will tell us that we start from uni.lu, so we want to insert this. We're going to go first here, shift-forge, because we got a partial match on this dimension, and in this dimension, we also got a partial match by foo, and then we're going to set here, because this is the right place to put the node. I guess we all see that. And we are creating a new direction called mail. So in this case, using strings, we model the domain names, and we are able to aggregate all the data that has been given to from the user in this case. This is how the appended version of the tree looks like. I have inserted the new node here. What happened if the node is already there and we just need to update the values? That's the case I'm going to show you now. We have this node with a source domain of emacs.uni.lu. It's already here on the tree, but basically what we do, we find also the right path. We update the contours of the tree, and this is how it looks. So let's go to a more complicated case, let's say. We have a tree where it's too specific for the data I have. So I need to basically create a new node to add a new node with two sons that it will be two childs. It will be IMAP and it will be POP. And this should be the right place. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a node that will be common for these two. You can see I have POP, I have IMAP. The destination is the same. So what we're going to do, we're going to take this out. We're going to insert a new node, which will be common from both of them. I have removed the IMAP direction from this node, but I have appended it here. Also, I have appended the new direction, POP, that correspond to the new node. I will update all the contours in the tree, and this is how it's going to look. And then, if I have another, a secure version, for instance, like TLS, something, this will be the right place to append it. So, we have seen how the aggregation works. Sorry, we haven't seen how aggregation works. We just seen how we build the tree. But when we want to trigger aggregation, we start from the leaves. And we check if the leaves have at least an alpha percentage of activity. And if they are not, we are going to collapse them with the parent node. And that's how we're going to build complete trees after a time window. So, but what can happen? Maybe this data structure grows very big in memory, and it's going to start causing problems to other applications running also in the same server. So what we propose to do is what we call online strategies. We defined two online strategies. One is called root because when the tree grows for over a certain max nodes that is given by the user, we perform aggregation and it goes through the root node. But we can do it better. We did it an LRU inspired on the LRU cache algorithm. And when the tree size grows too much, we trigger aggregation from only those nodes that has been used recently. So what we gain here is we get less performance loss because we don't have to reach the root node. So I'm going to show you some use cases about this. This is how the application looks. I know the graphical interface is not nice, but here you input your log files or whatever you have. Here as you input the alpha, as I told you, and here is the beta, like the how long are going to be the time intervals. And all here I have parameters for data parsing, and here's the dimensions we're going to use. So in this case, we're going to use two dimensions, source IP address and the SIP kind of messages that's going around. And this is to measure how the changes of the data over time. So this is a bit how it looks. I'm going to go to the previous. It's think it's two times. Well, in this case, we're analyzing an SIP conversation. As you can see, most of the data correspond to normal messages, okay, and we have high percentages for these kind of values, so we can assume this is a normal conversation. But how we can identify from where anomalies start happening, if they? Well, so I'm going to show you, we go two time windows ahead, and we can see that there is a high percentage of error messages, and they are coming from this network. But we can see, then, if we keep aggregating a little bit more of information, we know that we have here a good classification of the errors, and also we have targeted from where it's coming. So here we know, like, these nodes, and these nodes are doing something wrong. And if we are the administrator of the network, we might give them a call. So going back to the presentation, I'm going to show you another use cases that are interesting, a little bit more like... we did also some monitoring at an ISP level. We worked with a major ISP from Luxembourg that gave us access to a lot of data. You can see there the testbed we used. And we wanted to profile the traffic of the ISP to detect anomalies there. But we did it over all this time. And we, with the trees, when you have a very, very large data of trees, then it's practical to define a metric of how these trees are variating over time. We did it with a distance in trees. I know it's not the right moment to go in depth of that, but if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. But we did how the shapes of the tree changes over time, and we were able to identify a TCP flood attack and over different time windows. So here you can see this is the initialization of the attack, and here is like they got a peak. This is, as I mentioned, using the deviation of the time series of the trees. Another interesting use cases is when we combine the NetFlow data with the geolocated. We can locate where are the source of these the source of all the communications that they are going through the ISP network. So I'm going to show you another nice example here. Here, as you see, we have a map from Europe. Here is Luxembourg, from those that you're very familiar with the country. I know it's not that big. As you can see here, we have identified the source of the communications that this ISP is receiving. It's normal that it's located in Luxembourg, moreover, like in the capital city of the country. But if I zoom out a little bit, we're going to find something that is not really logical, that in the south of France also there is a big spot of communication starting. Well, that this information can be really useful for an ISP to know what this is an anomaly and why it's happening. Here I have other following time windows where you can see how, as well, data comes mostly from Luxembourg and it goes spreading around Europe. Sorry, and this optimization can be done if you need to place your server geographically, and well, you can identify where the traffic is starting. So this is in case the information didn't work. Those are the data from this SIP example that I showed you before. We did it in our local testbed. We analyzed all these messages, and we were able to detect this error coming from. Here's some data about performance, because this might be interesting from those of you that are handling a lot of information. After we aggregate, we reduce the scale of the data in a significant way. For instance, you can see here, when we have in the geographical example I showed you before, before aggregation, it was 14,000 nodes, and we reduced that to a scale of 45 nodes. So that means an improvement in memory. It's really significant. And many of you can ask yourself why this is so important, because the post-processing of these trees, studying the edit distance of a tree, is not something that you can do in O1. You need at least n squared to analyze those trees. So if you can reduce this in this case, we are gaining a lot of performance then for post-processing. So that was the demo I have already shown, and I'm going to move towards conclusions. So we have seen a scalable aggregation for iterationless data that allow us to perform it in real time, sometimes when the hardware requirements are fulfilled. It's extensible to new features. It's written in Python, but you can extend the code using the language that you like. You can download it from here, also with a graphical user interface. And our future work is to extend this in other dimensions, like probably to analyze the call stack of a program, or to do it over images, and also to work on a user interface, because I know it's not like the most beautiful user interface you have ever seen. And that's all. If you have any questions, that's the chair. Yes. That's a good question. For data such as SIP, IP addresses, we have the data already described in the model. But for data that is not described, you should provide a hierarchically way to organize the data. I mean, if you are, let's say you want to aggregate family members, you will say, well, this is how you identify a grandfather, and this is the relationship between a son and a grandfather. You need to go through a parent. So you have to describe with a Python function the notion of hierarchy between your data. Well, in that case, the trees that are going to be built, they are going to be really flat, because you're going to have a central node that, because if you don't have any hierarchy, I can always say, well, this is all non-hierarchically data, and I come up with a root node. I say they have only one relationship. They're all the same child from this root node, and they're all siblings. So your tree will be really flat, and you will not be able to see a lot of, you will not gain too much if you use it in that way. I mean, this tool works really well when information is hierarchically organizable. Thank you, guys.